Hey, this is Zepp, and on behalf of the guys, Stru, Boomer, and Lukey, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to our podcast of The Ticket Outdoors, brought to you by Mills Fleet Farm. And remember, when nothing's going right, just go fishing.
You know, there's still plenty of winter left, but how much tread is left on your old tires? Well, Mills Fleet Farm has just what you need to stay safe while weathering the rest of winter. Buy four select tires, our expert technicians will install them, and we'll give you a $50 Fleet Farm gift card. Roadrunner, Cooper, VF Goodrich, Mastercraft, and Michelin. All the best brands at the best prices at Mills Fleet Farm.
It's time for Ticket Outdoors on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Love it when our producer Mark Lukey's looking like, are you guys gonna do something?
I don't have a microphone. Well, you didn't have any headphones either,
well,
buddy.
You're at that age. Maybe it just doesn't work.
Am I on? I don't know. I can't hear anything. Can you hear me?
Oh, you've got a volume control knob. First day in radio here.
Play with the knob down there by your pocket, buddy.
Got it.
You feeling something now? Hey, let me tell you. Let me get this out of the way while you guys are catching your breath.
All right.
Take the worry out of winter driving by riding on a new set of tires from Mills Fleet Farm. A whole bunch of folks sliding around last night that wish they had them. Fleet Farm carries all the best brands, Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many more. What are you laughing at over there, punk kid?
Oh,
I just, yeah, had to go to the bathroom, you know.
I said we had a Gatorade bottle here.
You
got stage fright, didn't
right, exactly.
You were talking about slipping and sliding, road traffic and whatnot. You know, Zepp and I talked a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, how'd the traffic report?
Absolutely drives me nuts. It snows about a half an inch, and the world comes to a stop. And I told Zepp, I gave him some kind of sarcastic comment.
Sarcastic?
Yeah. And he says, can I use that on air? I said, you wonder, can you legally in the state of Minnesota get a texting while stopped ticket? If you're in your car and you're stopped in a traffic jam,
right,
and I'm texting you, can they give me a ticket?
Right, because it's not distracted driving because you're not driving, but I think technically
the key is,
you know,
turned.
The car's running, you're on the road, you're in traffic.
Why don't you try it out, Stru?
Yeah.
How was your week, buddy? Now, you had the boat show.
I had the boat show a couple weeks ago. This week, I'll be at the St. Cloud Sports Show. So, the Sineco Productions, the folks that had us out there for the Minnesota Sports Show.
Yeah.
I'll be out there with Here's My Gear, and we'll be talking some ice fishing. Yeah, but the boat show was awesome. Mark and I were out there, and Zepp was giving away a Sea-Doo and stuff.
Yeah, we gave away a Sea-Doo Watercraft.
A lot of buyers out there, huh, Zepp?
Yeah, a lot of buyers, just a lot of folks, and it was a crowded, it was a packed joint again.
It was, and a lot of Alumacrafts went out the door, which is always nice to see. You know, they had the Alumacash incentives, which I believe still go till March, but you get a little more money if you buy in February versus March, but there's some good boat incentives out there for folks. If you're looking for a fishing boat like Alumacraft or that beautiful T-Pro 195, now is the time to buy. Do not procrastinate and wait till like 2 weeks before open and expect to get
open
it on the water.
Not right? Till May, but we'll get Dan from Dan Southside Marine on probably as we get a little closer to open water, talking about some boat deals and all that good jazz.
By the way, our friend Dan from Dan Southside Marine has been real nice to me and the Wildwood Lions Club because he's going to be donating a $100 gift certificate to the Wildwood Lions for our Wild Game Sportsman's Feed March 2nd. We're going to raise a lot of money for the Wildwood Lions, and that's nice of him. So thank God for Dan Southside Marine for being one of our sponsors.
Where is that Lions located?
That's our club is in the Matamita area, but this dinner is going to be in Lake Elmo, and it's going to be all the Wild Game Feed is going to be prepared by the chefs of the Lake Elmo Inn.
Oh.
It's going to be one hell of a deal. And the door prizes we got. I've been very blessed because of this show to meet a lot of people. Our buddy Adam Griffith is going to do
it. Is that why we don't have anything in our prize closet?
No, I gave you guys some venison tonight.
Oh,
my Lord.
Gary, it's good stuff.
And some Ritz crackers. But we've got a clam gave us a... at a pretty fair cost, a real nice fish house. We got Adam Griffith doing a half a day ice fishing guide. And you say Adam is the crappie king around here, right?
I tell you what, Adam is one of those guys that I can't talk about this lake that I actually have a picture of a 17 1/4 inch on an Alumacraft ruler crappie. I mean, that's amazing. And I'm pretty pumped, speaking of Adam, too, because tonight's lake report that we'll catch probably the last 10 minutes of the show tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Lake Minnetonka. We're going to be talking about Waconia. And then we're going to talk about a little lake next to Prior Lake called Spring Lake that I've never talked about on air.
So you know
Spring Lake, huh?
I know it very well. I love Spring Lake.
So we're
hidden gem down there. It was, anyway.
Yeah, it was till now. And I was just chatting back and forth with our friend Tony Roach, and literally 5-10 minutes ago, Tony gave me a live ice report on how the bite's going on Mille Lacs and what's working up there. So we got a pretty cool lake report later in the show.
One of the nicest guys in the outdoors is Tony Roach. One more thing, I got to mention this about the Wildwood Sportsman's Feed, Wild Game Sportsman's Dinner, is there's a lot of silent auctions, and there's trips, and there's lots of things going to be given away, a lot of raffles. I think last year we made about $8,000 or $10,000. We're going to double that this year. We're going to make a lot of money. But one of the silent auction items that somebody in this room might be excited about is a free defense for a DUI.
I don't
from Rogaszewski. Rogaszewski is one of the sponsors.
That's really what they're going to give away. Oh,
but Lukey's not even listening.
He's going to defend anybody in the next 12 months, and it goes to the highest bidder. Last year went for only $150.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good for an attorney like Rogaszewski,
like,
right?
That's like a $2,500, $3,000 value, I've heard.
Double-edged sword, isn't it? Honey, I got a DWI, but don't worry. I want to get out of jail card from an attorney at the hunting banquet that I got drunk at.
Only that easy.
How was your week, Zepper? How did it go?
Good week. I'm trying to put it together in my head now. Busy, you know, flying around, 7 days, stuff going on. But I think I managed to squeeze a little fun in there. Well, fun and work often overlap for all three of us. But good week. Yeah, nothing out of the ordinary. Haven't had a chance to get out and do any ice fishing in about the last 3 weeks, but I have people calling me all the time to tell me that they're having fun doing it.
You know, we'll get into it on the lake report later tonight, Zep, but we've got to get you out there. We've got solid ice. I mean, Jesus, it's like the frozen tundra again. The polar vortex kicked in. I mean, we've got cold temps. There's not a lot of snow on the lakes. I won't get into that, but here's an interesting stat about fishing. The last couple days, I spent some time with Explore Minnesota and the Minnesota tourism folks, and they had a conference, and just guess, guys, how much the fishing industry impacts our economy here in the state of Minnesota.
I think it was $2 billion?
That's a big one.
About $3 or $3.5 billion is what fishing brings to the state of Minnesota through licenses, retail, and all that kind of stuff. And it also supports close to 44,000 to 45,000 jobs
in
the state.
Boy, thank God for PETA, huh? Without them, we would be nothing. We wouldn't have this radio show.
It does, though, when you think about the DNR, and I told you, fellas, before, I've said it on the show, that I'm not a DNR apologist, but that does put some weight on your job. I mean, you're not making decisions about some guys and gals getting out and recreationally screwing up somebody's weekend plans. I mean, it's big business. I don't know what would be bigger. I'm sure there's probably something in the state, but
that's
near the top of the list.
That's a big deal. And the other thing that is kind of interesting in fishing right now in the open water is the aquatic invasive species sticker.
Yeah.
That's kind of hit some emergency brake action, and it's not done, because even though they said, okay, we're going to do something, we're going to review it, it might not come out the way we wanted it to, the legislative bill has not been repealed yet. So I talked to some folks today, and, you know, not saying names, but it's still going through. It hasn't been repealed. It has to be repealed for that law to stop.
Now, that gives you an idea of the strength of this radio show, because, 2 weeks ago we had that gentleman on, right?
Yeah.
That gentleman on who started this whole process about repealing the aquatic species.
A real grassroots movement that he started on social media, talked about on this show a couple of weeks back about getting this repealed. There are a bunch of people that aren't excited about getting online, paying another fee, collecting another sticker, and taking a test concerning aquatic invasive species.
One of the things that concerns me about that, the biggest thing for me financially, is that if I've got to get one of those stickers, the Aquata, whatever the hell they're called,
AIS.
That means I've got to get a license, a regular license for my trailer. I've been driving for 7 years without a without a trailer license. Now
that's going to be a game changer, my friend.
I think it is. I think it is.
As many DNRs we interview.
We're going kind of adventure tonight, fellas. We've got we're going to be talking with Brian Clawitter, sturgeon on the river. Lonnie Dupree. Lonnie Dupree, this is a guy that climbs mountains. I mean, this is a guy that's...
Like not the hill outside the studio mountains.
Lonnie Dupree has traveled over 15,000 miles through the high Arctic. That's way up there. That's above Canada. The Arctic Circle, he's logged over 15,000 miles up there, kayaking, climbing, doing what he's doing. We're going to talk to him. Ticket Outdoors, this is adventure.
Would that be considered the Mile High Club?
Yeah.
that's the Globe High Club.
He started his adventure about 1985. And in fact, I let Billy Moles know this, our friend Billy Moles,
Billy
Moles Adventures.com.
And this guy started this like in 1985, 1986 when he went to the Brooks Range in Alaska, Billy Moles' favorite place, and did something there, and that got him hooked on doing all the things he's doing. As a matter of fact, our friend Ron Cunningham is in the studio. Ron knows Lonnie Dupree, and he's the guy who got us Lonnie on today. So thanks, Ron, for being in the studio,
and thanks
for getting him on.
You know, I was on his website, oneworldendeavors.com. Boomer, you mentioned the Mile High Club, jokingly. This looks like a pretty solitary gig. I don't think there's a lot of parties with Lonnie traveling out through there. That looks crazy. Colleen Wallen?
Right.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
If you were to
go to
BearGrease.com, I believe it is. Right. We're all familiar. If you spent some time in the Midwest, specifically here in Minnesota, we're all familiar with the Bear Grease race up out of Duluth, and I forget how far it is exactly.
So they try to get 400 miles, depending on the snow. It's usually about 400 miles.
Like any marathon you might run, you could do a half marathon if you want, and then the hardcores go for it. So if you were to go to BearGrease.com and look under the marathon Bear Grease results from just a couple of weeks ago when they did this and just went down to only number 3 on the long race, you would find Colleen Wallen's name.
Yep, and she's, I talked to her a couple of times already, a wonderful lady. She's going to be a lot of fun, so stick around and listen to you guys because she's a sharp cookie.
Yeah.
She only finished about 6 hours behind all the big boys, and I said to her, how the hell are you going to beat those guys? Because the last 4 races have been won by 2 guys. They rotated both times.
Yep.
And I said, how do you beat these guys? She goes, I don't think we can. And I don't know why. We're going to find out more about the dog sleds up in the Bear Grease and the Two Harbors area.
And then after Colleen, Boomer's teasing us. We're going to get more of an in-metro lake report.
Yeah. And you know, one other exciting thing I forgot to talk about this week, guys. I was at the Outdoor Foundation Banquet in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And this is a nonprofit foundation that focuses on taking military vets out hunting and fishing that have gone through some pretty traumatic incidents, as well as kids that maybe the future is looking a little tough. And they take them out there hunting, and there was about 150 folks out there, and it was quite touching. I took my dad out there, and thank you, Clam, for having me go out there. I got to meet Bud Grant.
Oh, yeah.
I got to meet Mr. Lassard. So remember Mark Johnson, the president of the Deers, who's this is Bob Lassard, the guy who started the Lassard Sam. So that was pretty neat, and talked about bringing him on board. And then the other gentleman I met, his name was, he was an Army Staff Sergeant, Clint Romeshaw, and he was one of the most recent Congressional Medal of Honor awardees.
Oh, yes, I know exactly who you're talking about. I watched that, I don't know if he's had his ceremony at the White House, but he is the one that had his ceremony.
And he's been
recently
on Letterman and all kinds of stuff, and he had just came back from SHOT Show, and I just got fortunate enough to catch him in the hall. And guess what? He likes to hunt and fish. He's a Dakota boy from North Dakota.
Yep.
And Clint was nice enough. He said, when things settle down for me in February, I'd be happy to call into the Ticket Outdoors and talk some hunting and fishing with the boys.
It'd be an honor to talk to him.
Yeah.
Speaking about somebody who likes to hunt and fish, I'm going to show Zip a photograph of a potential guest.
Hello,
a potential guest.
She's only next week on the show if she's in studio.
And she is a hunter, fisherman.
And she sits on this side, not on Zip's side.
Her name is
I don't see any room over there.
Cindy Jo Slower. And as a matter of fact, it's going to be a lot of fun. I've talked to her and talked to her family. We're trying to get her on next week. She's a huge hunter and just got herself a big black bear herself this year. So I think she might be worth having in studio.
Yeah. North Branch singer competes for American Idol slot.
Still happening right now.
Cool.
Still happening right now.
Check it out.
Yeah.
All right, fellas, BK, Sturgeon, we get to listen to BK and Boomer mix it up about the big fish and the little fish.
So what do we do in the meantime, you and I? Just sit around?
Well, we're going to go listen to some messages from
our sponsors. Check her out on American Idol.
One and done. 1 hour of basketball talk every Saturday morning at 10 with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press and Hardwood Raw.
The dynamic between Hollins and Nate Mason is one that I think is really a positive thing for the Gophers.
Hollins, Matthew, I mean, these two guys, you know, this was their team coming into this year, you know, for a freshman to take over at this point. For Patino to make that move, you know, you could have really hurt this team.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 10. One and done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Have you been eyeing up a nice new log splitter? How about that gas grill? Or a new set of tires? Now's the time to shop. Big Boy's Toyland is on at Mills Fleet Farm. The more you buy, the more you get back in gift cards. There's tons of manly stuff throughout the store. Plus, book an appointment at the Auto Service Center for an oil change, a new battery, or repairs. It's time to shop like a man. So get to Mills Fleet Farm for Big Boy's Toyland on now.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They'll grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you and then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DanSouthsideMarine.com.
One of the fastest growing and most exciting things to do on the ice is spearfishing. This is the first year Lake Traverse has been open to spearfishing, and the lake is loaded with huge pike. Check out WheatonService.com to see the proof, or click on the link on the Ticket Outdoors webpage. Daily warm spear houses available for rent by the day, or stay and spear weekend packages start at $150 per person. Gear and instruction available, fish, cleaning, and meal plans. See what the fuss is about. Visit WheatonService.com. And take a kid fishing.
Boomer here from the Ticket Outdoors and my friends at Alumacraft Boats, the official boat sponsor of the Ticket Outdoors. Even though the temps are cold, and you guys know I love to talk about ice fishing, right now is an awesome time to buy a new boat because Alumacraft is featuring their annual Alumacash promotion. Get instant rebates of up to $1,600 to use as a down payment or subtract from the sale price. See your local dealer and find out why Minnesota's Alumacraft is the best deal on the water.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And don't forget, boys and girls, right here on this frequency, you can catch the rebroadcast every Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, and the podcast is available sometime in the next couple of weeks on 105theticket.com. What do we got coming up, guys?
I'm not sure, but we were about 3 minutes over on our first segment,
Shoot, we don't have to talk about BK and catfish
and sturgeon and all that kind of stuff. Three minutes less time to talk with Brian Clawater. BK, how you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on tonight.
I screwed that up. I saw Stu's face right away.
We're all ready to just...
Guys, I'm a 25-year radio veteran. When when Joe Giuliano starts playing guitar, I'm in automatic go mode.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like Pavlov's dogs. I'm programmed to start
BK,
talking.
Hey, BK, you getting some bobbers ready with some minnows and going fishing, buddy? Strategy.
Yeah, the walleyes are biting down on pool 4. I've seen some pretty nice fish, 8, 9, 10 pounders lately, but
wow.
I just can't get myself out there to fish for them scaly things. Yeah.
Brian Clawwinner, a frequent guest of Ticket Outdoors. BK's World, what is it? BK, what's the website?
BrianK'sWorld.com.
Brian K's, not BK's. BrianK'sWorld.com. And Boomer had a line off the air that he wanted to tease you with that I particularly like. We have to hear about fishing from a guy who doesn't know how to catch walleyes.
Yeah. Hey, BK, do you you guys use electronics for those catfish, or what's that all about?
Well, the catfish it helps find structure with, but we certainly do use it for sturgeon. And because it's there's not a lot of structure down there, you can see through your electronics very well when you go across a sturgeon on the bottom.
I'll tell you, I was on Brian's Facebook page earlier, Brian Clawwater. Say what you want about those slimy sturgeon. He had some very yes. pretty ladies on there, including one of our former guests on there, smooching one.
Yep. Nicole does an awesome job of smooching sturgeon. And you know what?
I've never heard of one yet. Yeah, no, right. BK, welcome back to Take It Outdoors. All right, well, tell us, when can we, I mean, obviously we have to wait for some, I don't know, on the river, some open water?
Yeah,
when
there's
do you get
some
out
new rules, right?
On the sturgeon.
Well, after many moons of working on this, the DNR finally came up with a catch and release season. We're still going to have our catch and harvest season in September for the St. Croix River, and nothing's changing up on the Lake of the Woods Rainy River for the catch and keep season up there. But the rest of the state, all inland waters are going to be open to lake sturgeon fishing now, catch and release only, and also the border waters, which is something that's, you know, there's fish there. And, you know, to be honest with you, the people were doing it anyway, trying to catch catfish. They'd catch a sturgeon. They'd, you know, pull it up, measure it, take a picture of it, give it a kiss, throw it back in. So it's really just making something that has been going on for a long time legal, because before you couldn't target sturgeon. And the laws take effect March 1st, and because the laws take effect March 1st, it's actually open on March 1st, but then they close on March 2nd.
Really?
And so the thing is that
I know a girl like that.
There's going to be ice on it, so that'll make it a little tougher. Yeah. And for that one day, but then they're going to open back up in April. Somewhere in April, somewhere in June, to keep it kind of closed for that spawning season. And then after that, they'll open it up again, and they'll stay open until March 1st of the following year. And you don't need a tag. A lot of people say, well, do I need a tag, because they've heard that. If you're not going to harvest it for the catch and release season, you don't need a tag. You just need your fishing license, and you need a little extra gear. You don't want to go out there with your wimpy walleye.
You know what you need, BK? You need a guide.
No, we need Brian Clawwater to take us out there with all the gear.
Well, we're going to get Boomer out this year if I have to come and pick him up and hook on that T-Pro on the back of my truck and haul him out there myself.
Hey, Brian, when you do that, I guarantee I'm going to come with. I'm not going to fish. I'm going to videotape, and I'm going to watch his eyes when he catches a 25- or 30-pound catfish or an 80-pound sturgeon, and we're going to post that, baby.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of my bucket list items this year is to get my rear end up to Wigwam up at Lake of the Woods, and when that rainy river opens up and they got to plow through it with a caterpillar to open it up for those sturgeon on the rainy river. I'm doing that this year. But BK, I had a serious question for you on sturgeon and the catch and release season that I know a lot of effort and research went into to open up this new season here in the great state of Minnesota. You sometimes hear that most people that haven't gone or caught a sturgeon, you know, they have a different anatomy than most fish. I mean, it's not like a mouth in the front where you just take the hooks out.
It's like a shark mouth.
It's like the sucker on the bottom. And you hear people, is there a concern with that, BK? Because I've, you know, a common method for chasing sturgeon is, you know, a clump of worms on a treble hook, right? And is there any concern with those treble hooks, or are they going to go barbless, or how is that going to work with this catch and release season?
Most of the people, I don't know very many people that use treble hooks for sturgeon.
Okay.
The circle hook was designed for channel cats and sturgeon. And typically I'll take the barb and bend it down on the 3-aught Team Catfish double action hook. And that way once you get them in the boat, they just pop right out. As long as you keep a tight line. If I have some younger fishermen, like when I take you out, I'll probably keep the barbs on because
to give them a better chance of bringing it in the boat.
Awesome.
That's
wonderful. The mouths on a sturgeon are all, well, the whole fish is cartilage and a spinal cord. There is no bones in a sturgeon.
That's kind of, that's like a shark.
Yeah.
Pretty close. They're I don't say distant cousin because they're not really, but they're kind of in the same family, and we get into the that whole thing. But
does anybody eat sturgeon?
There's quite a few people, and over the last few years, I've been watching the number of harvests of sturgeon. It's been going up. I recommend if you're going to want to try to eat a sturgeon, to go
cook it with spam, right? Cook it with spam.
No, well, yeah, it will add a little grease to the spam, that's for sure. They're a very oily fish, and a lot of people like them smoked, but I'd recommend going up to the Lake of the Woods. There's a bigger fishery up there for sturgeon, and you can keep one between 45 and 50 inches, or if you catch one over 75 inches, you can keep. I guess my biggest concern, if I catch one like 75 inches, is like, what happens if I don't like it?
Kind of along that lines, it's like keeping a 15-inch plus crappie or a 27-inch plus walleye.
Yeah.
Those fish typically aren't the best to eat, just like with deer hunting. When you shoot a big old buck, they're not as good as a younger buck.
You know what you do with that, BK? We had an old smelly bull elk we brought back, big trophy one year, and the meat didn't turn out so well. You gift it.
Yeah,
everybody gets a little bit.
It goes in the fridge.
Hey, Brian.
Take it to the cookouts.
I'm going to back it up a little bit. On December 31st, when we had our show, we had our first two-hour show. We were talking about highlights of 2014, and honestly, God, one of the highlights of my 2014 was catfishing with you at night on the Mississippi River. Gorgeous night, pristine. Mesmerizing. It was a wonderful experience. I'd like to see Boomer, anybody else, do that. That was catfishing at night. Do you fish for sturgeon at night as well?
Yeah, sturgeon can be caught during the day. It's easier to catch them when there's less wind, and typically in the evening the wind goes down, and then there's less boat traffic, especially on the, we've been limited to the St. Croix River, and there's a lot of boat traffic on the St. Croix River, and so you've got your waves from the boats and so on. So when we go out at night, there's less boat traffic, there's less wind, and it's just much easier fishing at night. But they the first time I went out with Steve DeMars, we were out from, I believe it was 2:30 in the afternoon to 4 o'clock, and bluebird skies that day, and we caught 31 sturgeon in 2.5 hours.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, to add to that, the river, I just love the river. Yeah, I love lakes, but the river is this, you know, it's got a beating heart. It's this living thing, and anytime I'm out on it at night, it is. It's a completely different experience, if not even a little, I mean, it spooks you every once in a while. So, and to get out there and obviously to do some flathead fishing or grab a sturgeon, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I was reading.
Romantic with Stru.
But I tell you what, BK, I was reading some of the stuff you sent me, and I think it's very, very interesting because this reminds me, not me personally, but maybe reminds Brian Zepp of his younger years, because females spawn when they're about 25, and the males spawn when they're 14. So that's kind of that seems unusual to me.
Hey, BK, question for you on a 50-inch plus sturgeon. How old is that fish?
Well, that's the reason why originally they had it on the St. Croix, that you could harvest one at 50 inches, and the idea was is that would be the first time it would spawn, so then we could actually harvest it as it spawned once. They just upped that a few years back to 60 inches, so at least they can make sure they get one spawn out of there. So basically what we're saying is a 60-inch fish, or 50 to 60-inch fish, is 25 years old if it's a female.
Wow.
Yeah. Very important question, I think. BK, I mentioned this to you earlier today. In fact, I kind of prepped you on it. And are you familiar with the pallid sturgeon, the P-A-L-L-I-D sturgeon? Have you heard about that?
Yes.
Okay, it's interesting. In the St. Paul Morning Paper yesterday, I think it said, that the pallid sturgeon in Montana and North Dakota, they're concerned about them getting completely wiped out because of the dams that have been built there, and it's preventing them from spawning. And now there's only something like 1,000 of those things left. They want to preserve those. Do we have any concerns about the dams affecting the spawning of a sturgeon in this area?
Well, they're certainly affecting the sturgeon from what they used to be. However, we are seeing a comeback, and I attribute it to the Clean Water Act of the 70s, and then also the DNR making sure that the limits are very minimal. But yes, they are being held back by the dams. the Red Wing Dam was open like 15 weeks. I think that was a record. 15 weeks last year where the fish could just go right through. So I don't know the if the dams are really hurting them that much, but it's more of the clean water that's that they're experiencing now where they're coming back. And the Rainy Lake sturgeon are coming back. They've got like 5,000 of them tagged up there.
Wow.
And they're watching them. One of the first large sturgeon we caught was caught and released three times over 5 years. Well, actually, five times over a five-year period. And it's always neat to see that a sturgeon that you caught 3-4 years ago that was 57, 58 inches long was caught by one of your friends.
That's cool.
A couple years later.
Yeah, that's cool.
And
yeah.
It goes back to, it really boils down to handling the fish. And that's my only concern about this whole catch and release season. The sturgeon, their gills are built-in handles. And we can't pick up those sturgeon by their gills,
right,
or the gill plates, because it's going to tear their gills, and that's going to lead to mortality in the fish. And if it takes, you know, it takes them 25 years to spawn for the first time, and then they only spawn every 3 to 4 years after that. So you're not getting a lot of recruitment every year like your walleyes do.
Well, BK, talk about that a little bit, because we talk about getting pike back in the water, even for ice fishing and handling them. Obviously, if they go to Brian K's World and hire you as a guide, they're going to get them out of the water and back into the water in a healthy manner. But, you know, with this new season and them widening the catch and release, you might have some folks that are just going to go out there and decide they're going to do some sturgeon fishing.
Not know any better.
I'm not sure that I would, or even think. I'm sure I could see myself out there in the boat at night going, oh, crap, I knew I was going to Google something before I came out.
Yeah.
Give us just a couple of tips to our listeners about getting them back in the water.
First of all, you want to be prepared to catch a large sturgeon. Probably the biggest fish of your lifetime, because at least freshwater fish.
Because we're not going to go get one of those alligator gars anytime soon.
Hopefully not up here. So have your tape measure ready. Have your camera ready. Tell people in the boat where you're going to put the fish. Have a large enough net so that you can bring it into the boat. Some people don't like using a net because it takes the slime coating off. I guess I'd rather get the fish in the boat and use a net.
All right, BK, we got to get on to the next episode. One last question, pal. If you had to fish one of the fish, sturgeon or catfish, what would it be?
You know, if a flathead could jump 3, 4, 5 feet out of the water, a flathead would be my favorite fish. But, you know, I've seen people literally wet their pants when a sturgeon comes out of the water. So that's probably it.
Cool.
BK, we're going to do something fun this summer where we're going to have like a walleye, catfish, sturgeon challenge. Think about that, buddy. Let's have some fun with that and do something with the show.
I always need flathead bait, so I'll bring your
Thanks, BK.
Thanks, buddy.
Brian Clawwitter. BrianK'sWorld.com. Thanks. We'll have him back again, you know, as we get a little bit closer, and then maybe he could finish answering that question that I asked him about how you get a sturgeon back in the water. I saw you dash off and come back and go, that's it. But you know what? We're going to talk to Brian again before this season opens in March for one day, and then back again in April, whenever he said. And we'll talk about that a little bit more.
Yes.
But we've just got, you know, maybe about the next half hour, 45 minutes to talk to Lonnie Dupree, a special guest, when we come back with Ticket Outdoors.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I would trade them.
The career arc intersecting with once prime, blah, blah, blah. The rest of the roster ready to win when your star player is still in that window. Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors and my friends at Alumacraft Boats, the official boat sponsor of The Ticket Outdoors. Even though the temps are cold and you guys know I love to talk about ice fishing, right now is an awesome time to buy a new boat because Alumacraft is featuring their annual Alumacash promotion. Get instant rebates of up to $1,600 to use as a down payment or subtract from the sale price. See your local dealer and find out why Minnesota's Alumacraft is the best deal on the water.
Have you been eyeing up a nice new log splitter? How about that gas grill? Or a new set of tires? Now's the time to shop. Big Boy's Toyland is on at Mills Fleet Farm. The more you buy, the more you get back in gift cards. There's tons of manly stuff throughout the store. Plus, book an appointment at the Auto Service Center for an oil change, a new battery, or repairs. It's time to shop like a man. So get to Mills Fleet Farm for Big Boys Toyland on now.
Men have asked themselves since the dawn of time, when that moment arises, am I going to be ready to go? Is it the size or how it's handled? No need to worry. If you buy, sell, and trade, then practice your skills at the indoor gun range at Lakes Trading Company. Lakes Trading Company, just off of 61 in Forest Lake, is your gun specialist with an unbelievable product line, knowledgeable staff, and center permit to carry classes. If you experience arousal longer than 4 hours, you probably just bought a gun from Lakes Trading Company. LakesTradingCo.com. Be locked, cocked, and ready to go.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Welcome back, boys and girls. Remember, take the worry out of winter driving. You didn't think we were going to get out of winter that easy, did you? With a new set of tires from Mills Fleet Farm. Fleet Farm carries all the best brands. Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many, many more. The wild cards, true. Big Boom.
I'm here.
We got you over here. Our producer, Mark Lukey. And Mark just made a phone call for us. I see the line is on hold. I'm going to take it off hold. And I'm going to welcome Lonnie Dupree to Ticket Outdoors.
Hello there. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you, Lonnie. I was on oneworldendeavors.com. I'm going to say that website a few times while we have you on here. Thanks. For the next half hour or so. But let me, a couple of things I pulled off of there. To create this website, and Lonnie Dupree created this, to create and lead pioneering expeditions in the coldest regions of the globe as a means of advocating for these fragile environments which impact our whole planet. And I'm going to quote Lonnie Dupree from his own website. For as long as I can remember, I have loved snow and ice. As a result, I have spent most of my life exploring the Arctic region. Lonnie, that's peculiar. That's out of the ordinary.
Well, you know, I grew up in just south of Forest Lake on a sweet corn farm, and growing up there, we worked in the fields as kids in the summer, and it was quite hot, and I remember how unbearable the humidity was at times, and so I couldn't wait till winter for a couple reasons. One, I didn't have to pick sweet corn anymore, and two, I could, not be so hot. So I guess at an early age, I came to start exploring and looking at areas further north than Minnesota. And lo and behold, I realized that there was people called Inuit. People actually live in 2,000 miles north of us. And I thought, well, Minnesota winters are pretty cold.
Yeah,
I wonder how these people deal with it.
Yeah, we're going through a little bit of winter weather right now, and not one of our colder spells, but it's probably average winter here. And then you say 2,000 miles north, and that just blows my mind. I did want to mention being a farm kid growing up in the Midwest. It's interesting you say that because I really look forward to winters. In the summer, it was throwing hay bales. You were in the field 15 hours a day. It was work, work, work. But in the winter, you had to feed the cows in the morning, and that was it. And then you had the day off, and you'd go sledding, and Dad would pull you around on a tractor. As a result, I'm a winter enthusiast. I love to get out and sled, and I love especially skiing and big mountain skiing and around here. So winter for me is a fun time, fun, I don't know. Is it fun in the Arctic? Because it doesn't look like fun. It looks brutal.
Well, you know, my grandfather took me out ice fishing on the lakes in Minnesota here at a young age, and I really got a love for snow and ice through that as well. And so, as you get further north, of course, the temperature gets cooler and cooler. And, of course, if you end up going up big mountains in the middle of winter, it's even cooler because of the altitude. But I just developed a technique for trying to be comfortable, and the older I got, the more comfortable I wanted to be. So I really researched clothing techniques, equipment, eating properly, that kind of stuff. And so, because I don't like being cold. I don't like to be cold.
Well, then you have a strange way of going about not being cold.
Hey, Lonnie Boomer, how's it going, buddy?
Yeah, good. I've been enjoying my time back in Minnesota. It's been a bit of a push ever since I got off the mountain, and so I tell folks that I got unscathed on the mountain, but I came down and picked up a common cold that I think might wipe me out.
Right, you're ready to go back where there are no germs.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Lonnie, I heard you mention ice fishing, which is something that's near and dear to my heart, fishing just in general, and I love to ice fish. But, you know, Lonnie, when we talk about having you on the show and climbing Mount McKinley in January and being one of the only person to do that, how did you wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to do the Northwest Passage by dog sled in 1991, I'm going to take a kayak in 2001 and paddle around Greenland, and then I'm going to go do a summer expedition in the North Pole, and then you're going to climb Mount McKinley. Has this always just been in your heart and passion to go do these adventures?
His favorite movie is Napoleon Dynamite. He's one of those guys.
actually, it's that Robert Redford movie. What was the name of that guy?
A River Runs Through It. No?
Well, that was
Brad Pitt's.
Oh,
true.
No.
His most recent one about the man versus nature and he's out on the ocean on
I can't remember. Yeah. Plus, it's my favorite movie and I can't remember.
Jeremiah Johnson.
There you go.
Jeremiah Johnson.
That's the one. Yeah, there's a guy that's isolated. And that movie basically is about a 19th century fur trapper, a man that decided he wanted to check out of civilization and go out into, I believe it was Montana, but out into the Rockies. Yeah. When no one was in the Rockies, but a couple of old hairy men and, of course, Native Americans. And he went out there to make his way as a mountain.
Hey, I'll tell you, we're very, very fortunate that we have Lonnie Dupree here, because when I spoke to him twice last couple of days, this man's climbed mountains. He's the first guy ever to climb Mount McKinley and successfully come down as a solo climber in the month of January. He went through all of this stuff, started December 12th, I think, takes a year to train, and he comes here, and he's got a hell of a cold. He's hacking. He's not sure if he's going to finish his interview. He's hacking more than Woody Harrelson in the movie Kingpin, when Woody Harrelson had to make love to his landlady. So I'll tell you, but hey, Lonnie Strewman here, the wild card. How you doing,
Lonnie?
Pal?
He was waiting all night to use that joke.
I couldn't wait for that.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling better than I did yesterday. But it's been a kind of a tough transition. But I'm really enjoying being back in northern Minnesota, which I'll always call my home. And then we got a whirlwind of presentations to give, and we have a new film that just came out called Cold Love. And if anybody sees that coming out, please go and see it. It's about the last 25 years of running around the Arctic. And
I thought it was about my former marriage. I'm sorry, Lonnie. We need to take this interview a little more seriously. I've been on the website. I spent a lot of the day on it. There's beyond inspiration, there's a message that there's an end game here to what you're doing. It's more than, I'm out Lonnie Dupree, I'm trying to get my kicks, and I really like cold and adventure and man versus nature and personal goals. You have a message, and I imagine that's what you're getting to when you talk about getting out to some of these lectures.
Yes, I talk about climate change, and we're all seeing what's happening. When I was young, not all that young, long ago, every Thanksgiving day after Thanksgiving in late November, we would walk out to Forest Lake Lake, and we'd fish walleyes in the Narrows. And there'd only be a couple inches of ice on there, but we could do it every third week in January, like clockwork, for years. And There was a winter we had where we didn't have any ice on the lakes in that area at all winter. So it just scares me that the kids growing up today may not have ice fishing in their future.
Lonnie Dupree, our guest. Lonnie, if you can, do you think you've got it in you? And I know I had probably something very similar to what you have, what's going around here a couple of weeks ago, and I think I ended up missing one of the shows. Can we get you for another segment, about 15 minutes?
Sure.
All right.
Sure,
hang tight.
Sure.
We'll be back with Lonnie Dupree when we come back with Ticket Outdoors.
Here's some of the best college basketball games in the nation on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Big Ten, ACC, SEC, ACC, Big 12. The road to March is found on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
The number one team in the country on The Ticket when the Kentucky Wildcats tip off against the Florida Gators. Saturday night at 7:45.
College basketball on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Take the worry out of winter driving by riding on a new set of tires from Mills Fleet Farm. Need tires for your truck? car or SUV? Get the tires you need at the prices you can afford. Fleet Farm carries all the best brands. Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many more. Stop in to see our full selection. If you have questions, our experienced team can help. Be safe. Be smart. Get the best tires at the best prices. Mills Fleet Farm.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan's Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DansSouthsideMarine.com.
One of the fastest growing and most exciting things to do on the ice is spearfishing. This is the first year Lake Traverse has been open to spearfishing, and the lake is loaded with huge pike. Check out WheatonService.com to see the proof, or click on the link on the Ticket Outdoors webpage. Daily warm spear houses available for rent by the day, or stay and spear weekend packages start at $150 per person. Gear and instruction available, fish, cleaning, and meal plans. See what the fuss is about. Visit WheatonService.com. And take a kid fishing.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back, our guest Lonnie Dupree. During an Arctic career spanning 25 years, Lonnie Dupree has traveled over 15,000 miles throughout the high Arctic and polar regions by dog team, ski, and kayak. And he came down out of the Arctic and got himself a cold right here in good old Minnesota. Everybody's taking their turn this winter.
Yeah.
Lonnie, thank you for being with us on Ticket Outdoors. Let's talk about how long you're home for and what your agenda is while you're back here in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, yes. I just got back here less than a week ago, and I'm going to be around for another week or two. And then we start promoting our new film called Cold Love, which is about our last 25 years of run around the Arctic, and that's going to be a showing at Midwest Mountaineering mid-April, as well as a presentation I'm going to give on Denali. I'm going to climb in Denali, so I hope people can head down there, and then in Minneapolis.
Yeah,
and then it's just I got a few talks around the country, but I'm mainly going to just try to relax a little bit in Minnesota here and. Get ready for summer, and then we got some plans in about come this fall to head to Nepal and start a new project there.
Hey, Lonnie, you started this thing in the Brooks Mountains in like 1990, Brooks Range in 1985, 86 or so, and you've done so many things in the meantime, and now you've just climbed and come down safely. Mount McKinley, the first person ever to do that in January. What's left? And tell us about that. I mean, how long did it take you to start training for that? When did you start that? How long were you on the mountain?
Yeah, well, I was on the mountain 29 days, and traveling solo at that time of year is probably the most difficult psychologically because it's dark and it's cold and windy, and, of course, you're there over the holidays. But that's the time I picked because I wanted to be able to try to summit that mountain in January as a kind of a personal challenge and to just test the knowledge I gained through the years of traveling to the North Pole and around Greenland and things like that. And it was a challenge. It took me 4 years, and in total I spent near 90 days on that mountain altogether. And so I know it probably better than I care to, and I got to the summit this year on January 11th. It was a balmy 35 or 40 below zero on the summit. Typically, it's much colder than that.
I was celebrating my birthday with a hot toddy while you were up there. If that makes you feel any better. We're all familiar with Mount McKinley, but I don't think for those of us that don't, you know mountaineering that well, put it up against some of the big ones, Denali and K2, right. and where does it rank in there?
Well, Denali, just to give you an example, Denali has more vertical feet of climbing than Everest from respective base camps.
Okay.
And Denali, because it's located so close to the Bering Sea and so close to the Arctic Circle, makes it one of the coldest mountains on the planet.
Yeah.
So it's and being close to the Bering Sea, of course, the weather is atrocious.
Right.
So it's a very, very difficult mountain to ascend in the winter months.
Hey, Lonnie, how many guys have tried this and failed, including you? That's one question. Number two, this was your fourth attempt, and your buddy Ron Cunningham, who's in the studio with us, he was really nice enough to give us your name, and I talked to Buck, and I can't wait to have the Buck on the air as well. How many guys have tried this and failed? Number two, this was your fourth time. I watched everything last year where you were stuck there for 6 days waiting for the storm to subside. You had to come back down. If this was your fourth time and you failed, would you try it again?
No. I was gonna. If I didn't succeed this year, I would have pulled the pin on it. Because
you quitter.
I know. It's just and I'm getting up there, you know. So.
Our guest Lonnie. I'm sorry.
But it's just a really the weather's been so fickle and it's just impossible to plan safely. So I was gonna pull the plug off after this year, but I got lucky. I got a weather window of a few hours, and I managed to get to the summit.
It's amazing.
Our guest, Lonnie Dupree, oneworldendeavors.com. I'm sure they can probably find information about your lecture that you're doing, or Cold Love being shown at Midwest Mountaineering in April. Now, in Cold Love, you said it encompasses your entire 25 years. You said a couple of things. You said we. Who's we? And also you mentioned, we're talking about the Mount McKinley climb. Is that the wrap-up and the ending of the film there?
Actually, summiting Mount McKinley is the wrap-up of the film there.
Okay.
And those finishing touches are being applied right now. And
okay.
Then it encompasses not all my expeditions, just a couple of main ones, a North Pole trip, Denali, and our circumnavigation of Greenland. And the reason I say we is because even though it's just I on the mountain at this year, there's several people behind the scenes that have make it all happen. And one of those people that's been with me for quite a few years on Denali has been Stevie Plummer, my project coordinator, who's done a wonderful job.
Yeah, and because we talk to people that do a lot of hunting shows and fishing shows, outdoor adventure shows, and the camera crews go along, and they're sort of unsung, but I haven't seen, obviously, Cold Love yet. It's not quite finished, so I didn't know if... So do you do your own camera work? I guess you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on your own.
Yes.
You've got to. That's got to add a challenge to it. A lot of selfies.
Yeah, we do our own camera work. It's either, of course, just myself on Denali, but on the expedition, sometimes it's the other team members, but we almost never have a camera crew. We're too poor to afford one.
Speaking of being too poor to afford one, how is this funded? How are all of your expeditions funded?
Well, they're funded. I hate to say it, a lot of them are funded through my very thin wallet, but we have a lot of really good sponsors like Granite Gear and Primaloft that have been supporting us over the years, and so we've just been working with corporations over the years that have really funded the biggest parts of the expeditions, the parts that require air travel or getting us from point A to point B, which is usually the biggest expense.
Hey, Lonnie Boomer, couple quick questions on that front. When you get down to the dollars and cents, when you do something like this, it's not just the ambition and the passion in your heart, but there's obviously some finances involved. Two questions. One, how much does it roughly cost to do one of these adventures? And then two, with climbing Mount McKinley and being the only dude or dudette to do this in January, have you had some large companies come up to you and be like, you know what, we want to publish this. We want to put you in the spotlight, and we're willing to pay for your next adventure.
Well, there's, you know, anytime you are successful in your projects, you have companies coming forth and opportunities to do some talks and stuff. And it's really been nice that way. But, you know, a lot of these projects are funded on the same money that we get to do our speaking engagements and stuff like that. So I wish I was better off than I am, but I think Polar Explorers from day one, starting with Robert Perry, you know, who went to the North Pole, or Fridtjof Nansen from Norway, who crossed the Arctic Ocean in a big boat called the Fram. I think we all suffer that same affliction of being a little shy in the wallet. Because we tend to take the money what we do get and apply it to the next project.
And speaking of applying that to the next project, just a ballpark range, Lonnie, if you don't mind sharing to our listeners.
If you're talking, let's say, a very large-scale Antarctic project, it could be well over $1 million. If you're talking about a climb in the United States, it could be a couple $1,000s. So it goes anywhere from a few $1,000s to the sky's the limit.
So Stroh breaking out his dimes that literally have super glue in his pockets aren't going
to
help.
Not going to happen. Hey, listen, most people, you think about Mount McKinley. I had a chance to go to Alaska twice, and it is amazing. As a matter of fact, we were there in September twice over the last 10 or 12 years. And it's amazing how many people don't see McKinley when they go there, and they take you on these big tours, and it's all cloudy. We both times we were there, we had a chance to see it, and it's a big hill. It's a mountain, okay? It's I don't want to spend $5,000 to go see a mountain, but people think of McKinley. They don't think about it much as being quite the challenge as quote-unquote Everest. This is a whole different ballgame. Over 100 people or so have died trying to climb this damn thing. And Lonnie's one of the guys that has tried four times and succeeded. Two questions again. Number one, it's a solo climb, totally unaided. I read someplace on the steepest parts, they're protected by fixed lines that help you get to the next level. Did you ever have an opportunity? Did you have to use fixed lines when you went from one level to the next level?
Well, there's one place on the mountain called the Headwall that has fixed lines that the Park Service puts in that are there to aid summer climbers. And a lot of times those lines are embedded under a lot of ice by the time I get there. And I use a bit of those lines, sometimes not the whole way up because they're embedded in ice. But that's really not the difficult part of the climb. The difficult part of the climb is further up the mountain called the Audubon. And it's called the Audubon for a reason, because if you slip and fall, it's quite fatal. It's you get whipping pretty fast.
There's no speed limit on the Audubon.
It's a 50-degree pitch.
It's very good.
And it's really the you get up above 17, and it's very, very hard on your body because of the low oxygen, and that's where the most of the fatalities happen, well above the headwall.
Oh, let's talk about, you're talking about the tragedies, not the tragedies, but the treacherous part of the hike, maybe the Audubon. Have you been close to something extremely serious, dangerous, life-threatening? Tell us some of the dirt.
Well, I mean, that whole, anytime you're on the mountain in January, it's dangerous, and you can fall. The whole half of the mountain is pockmarked with crevices. And just getting to the actual steep part of the mountain is a very treacherous undertaking because of the amount of cracks in the ice there. And then of course traveling solo, you're free climbing, and you're not aided by anything, and you're on your own. It's you two axes and crampons, and that's it. So
scarier than hell. It's nuts. Your buddy Ron Cunningham is in here. He's the one that put me on to you, put the Ticket Outdoors on to you. We thank you very much. Ron, you got a question for you, buddy?
Lonnie, on your first attempt, Buck and I were following it very, very closely for obvious reasons. Could you share with the audience what you experienced on that first attempt when you thought you were almost going to make it to the summit, and then all of a sudden a blizzard came in and you were trapped for, almost 6 or 7 days? Can you share that experience with the audience?
Yeah, I got up to 17,000 feet, which is a place you don't want to hang around at, and I got caught in a blizzard for a week, stuck in a snow cave that you're just big enough to lay down in. You couldn't really sit up very well in it.
That's called a coffin.
I was just waiting out the storm and hoping for a weather window to go to the summit, but that day never came, and after a week up there, my body started atrophying, and you started losing muscle mass, so I had to just start going down at that point.
Did you have to have help getting down, Lonnie?
No, I never needed help getting down. I wish I had plenty of help, but I never did.
All right, let's talk about the muscle atrophy and all the other physical parts that go along with this game. What type of training do you have to go through to get prepared to climb Mount McKinley?
Got to cut back on the ciggies.
No cigarettes.
I mean, one thing we don't have here is altitude for training. So a lot of times I'll go out to Colorado and climb 14ers out there. Or at the hypoxia tent where I'll actually sleep in a plastic tent that simulates various levels of altitude.
That's amazing. Go ahead,
Lonnie, I was at
trying to get your girlfriend to sleep in that tent is a different story.
That's when we bring in old Zep.
I wouldn't have the breath to be able to do anything. Yeah. I'd be like, that was a good kiss.
you talk, Lonnie, about the high altitude training, and I've seen it at the gym a couple times in the morning where folks have had like this mask on, and I asked them, I said, what the? And they said it's a high altitude training mask. You ever heard of something like that?
You can do the same thing with a 3M dust mask.
Really?
Yeah, just run around the block with one of those on.
Right, and what's your altitude is you
that
just,
makes sense. I suppose it restricts your oxygen coming in. That makes sense. Yeah.
I thought it was like something from Universal Studios or Marvel Comics. This guy benching next to me. I'm like, what the hell?
That's what high altitude is. It's less oxygen. Yeah. So anytime that you can train or do anything physical and deprive your body of as much oxygen at lower altitudes here, then you're doing altitude training. I'm going out to Colorado this weekend, and that's one of those things I think about, and I'll be going out there a couple of times out to Montana as well. I've been to 13.6 is all for me, so I'm just a kid playing around up there a little bit. But you get out there and you think, oh, I'm in shape here because I'm jogging around the lake and I'm doing some weight training. And then you get up to about 12,000 feet and you feel like you haven't done anything for a year.
It's amazing the effects altitude has on you. And at the top of Denali, you're only able to absorb 50% of the oxygen up there compared to like in Minnesota here.
What's the peak elevation of Denali?
I think it's 20,340, although they've done some adjustments recently.
That's just, you're on a different planet. Lonnie Dupree, our guest. The website is oneworldendeavors.com. I spent the day with it. I'm going to spend more time with it. I love the website, Lonnie. You've got a blog on there, your latest entries. People can follow along. There's a lot of information. Again, Midwest Mountaineering will be debuting your film, Cold Love. You said sometime in April. We'll make sure our listeners get that information out as we get a little bit closer to it. Boomer, you've got another question for Lonnie. We've got, you guys, just so you know, we've got just a couple of more minutes.
One of my good buddies, Thane Jensen, and his family is a part of this outdoor crew. Here's my gear with me. And they were in Alaska sightseeing, and he had shared with me and the family that their cousins live out there, that not a lot of people actually see the top of Mount McKinley in Alaska because there's so much haze and stuff.
That's called weather.
That's weather up there. It's its own ecosystem. Yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit, Lonnie?
Yeah, I mean, I lived in Alaska for quite some time, and actually, just living in Anchorage, I hadn't seen the mountain either for a long time when I was younger. And then one day I was looking across Turnagain Arm, and I was looking into the distance towards the north there, and I was going, what is that? And then I went, oh, my word, that's a mountain. And it was taken up the skyline from Anchorage, like 110 miles away, And I thought, that's a big. I started thinking, oh, that must just be clouds or something. But it was Denali.
Lonnie, one last question for the Strew Man here. In all of your mountain climbing experiences and whatnot, what is the coldest temperature you've ever had up there, and what is the most powerful winds you ever had climbing, let's say Mount McKinley?
About 55 below, and the wind's about 80.
Holy buckets.
That's
inconceivable.
No,
thanks.
One last question. I'm curious, Lonnie Dupree, our guest. I can't imagine you're off
Your brandy would freeze.
Yep. No, I'm thinking, you've got a lot of career left. You've got great adventures ahead
What's
of you.
Next, yeah.
But what do you think about retirement? I can't imagine you getting the condo on the beach.
And
reading Unbroken.
I'll probably slip on the ice somewhere and hit my head. I don't know.
You know what, Lonnie, we talk about that, and you are well aware of the dangers. I think even novice people like ourselves, lay people, understand the dangers of what it is you're embarking on. How much is that in your head when you do it? Are you just so in love and so driven with what you do, you don't think about the consequences?
No, I think having an ever-present sense of fear keeps you alive, and that's an important thing to have, and not to feel like you're trying to conquer the mountain, but more be in tune with it, so you can survive, and know when it's time to turn around and time to keep going, and just being one with the environment, that helps, and.
Yeah,
I don't try to think too hard about the dangers that lie ahead, because that can kind of get you all freaked out. So you just want to be calm. I mean, I think it has to do with the years of experience of just running around the Arctic and stuff, and knowing that, I'm going to be out there about a month, and if I just keep my head, things are going to be fine. And
yeah,
hey, Lonnie, I lied. Here's another question.
Last question from Strew.
Yeah. From the wild card. Last question from the wild card. We're going to change the page a little bit here, talking about Greenland. When you kayaked around Greenland, I forget how far it is around Greenland, all the photographs and video that I saw was very pristine, very mesmerizing, really nice, gorgeous. Was it like that the entire time, kayaking around Greenland?
Well, the circumnavigation was 6,500 miles. 3,000 of it was kayaking around the south, and over 3,000 was dog sledding around the north.
Wow.
So, it's quite high up in the Arctic, so the whole works freezes, in the wintertime, and then in the summer, bottom half of it opens up so you can kayak. But it was one of the most amazing journeys that I've done, and it's probably the most memorable too, because I spent 5.5 years prepping and doing the expedition, with actual 22 months of being on the trail.
That's amazing.
There with one other guy, John Holzer, a good friend of mine from Australia.
Wow.
Very, very
amazing trip, place now.
As we were being sarcastic with Strew with one last question, I had to think of, you see these videos and movies where this guy is lost in the ocean or whatnot, and all of a sudden there's this big fish next to him. When you kayaked 3,000 miles, did you have any surreal experiences with wildlife?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had polar bears try to swim out to our kayaks, and we had
norwhales
surfacing just alongside us. It was an Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you do with a polar bear?
Not at every corner, but when it was there, it was magnificent for sure.
I don't know when you're coming back home, Lonnie, but please get a hold of us through Ron, Strew, or ourselves. We could do a two-hour show just talking to you. We know you're not feeling good. Lonnie Dupree,
yep.
OneWorldEndeavors.com. I invite every one of our listeners to escape your world a little bit and go along with this man for the 15,000 miles that he's put on in the polar regions, and will continue to do so. Midwest Mountaineering, cold love. I want to get over there for it, so I'm going to track it, and I'll keep our listeners posted. Lonnie, we'll let you get back to soaking your head or taking some medication or whatever you need to do here tonight.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
Oh, welcome back. Congratulations, young man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care of yourself.
Have a good night, you guys.
Thanks, Lonnie.
You know, wow. He talks about not being cocky on the mountain. And anybody that spent some time on the mountain and...
Radio 105
you know what?
Ticket.
You know what this place needs?
What?
An easy, convenient way to get snacks and drinks.
That would be great.
If only there was some kind of machine where you could press a few buttons...
And food or drinks would come out? That would be amazing.
Keep your employees happier and on site with modern credit card accessible vending machines from Reichert Enterprises. Happy employees are productive employees. Call Reichert Enterprises at 763-257-6940. That's 763-257-6940.
When you need someone to listen, a lawyer you know and trust.
He was a professional looking guy. He was in front of me talking to someone on the phone. Something about a car accident. And they were going on about the insurance company. They really didn't know what to do. And yes, I did want to offer advice. But at the same time, I didn't want to be rude. Listen, all I can tell you is that when an accident happens and someone is injured, it's so important that you have someone advising you. I mean someone with experience. A personal injury attorney. A good one. It costs you nothing to call us, and it costs so much to not call us.
Bradshaw and Bryant.
I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant. I hope you're never injured in an accident. But if you are, don't sign anything until you've talked to an experienced personal injury attorney.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Working harder, going farther, with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station.
Here's what's on deck for this week. Take the worry out of winter driving by riding on a new set of tires from Mills Fleet Farm. Fleet Farm carries Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many more. Need a good laugh? See today's best stand-ups at the Mystic Comedy Club inside Mystic Lake. Don't miss Jesse Joyce and Drew Michael February 27th and 28th. Shows at 7 and 9:30 p.m. Get tickets now for just $19 at mysticlake.com. Mountain Dew Kickstart gets you charged for whatever comes next. Enjoy Mountain Dew Kickstart now in two new flavors, pineapple orange mango and strawberry kiwi. It all starts with a kick, and that's what's on deck.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
A kick indeed. Welcome back.
We could have talked to him for a few hours.
I know, and we're going to get to Colleen Wallen talking about the bear grease, that adventurous lady, here in about 5 or 10 minutes. But so we're just sort of wrapping up. We've got Ron Cunningham here, who was telling some stories that we didn't get to with Lonnie.
Well, let's let him share some of those stories.
Yeah, I'd love to. You're talking about, now he mentioned Buck as well, Ron, and you were talking, telling us a story about Buck and Lonnie doing sort of a pre-scout trip up McKinley. I don't have the right mic on. Try it again.
Yeah, they went up the summer before just to prep for this the climb. And so the challenges of climbing that mountain in the summertime are totally different in the winter. And because the snow was so soft during the day, they had to go at night. And I can't imagine climbing that mountain in complete darkness.
No.
And they would go over these basically ice bridges at night where there were crevices where 250 feet, and along the way, it broke off, and my friend Buck was in the back, and he went tumbling down, and he was dangling probably 250 feet drop, and it just happened to be that there, I believe it was some Russian climbers that happened to come upon it at the same time, and they were able to pull him up, and Buck was just dangling there with his snow sled, and it was a pretty scary situation.
Oh, yeah.
That's terrifying. Yeah. That is terrifying. Now, and you talk about, we talked about being out with Brian on the river. It could sometimes be a little spooky. Can you imagine being out in Denali? And you mentioned, you know, being at those elevations, even though it was summer, it's ice and snow up there. Now, not Denali, Mount McKinley, I'm sorry. That's terrifying. Uncomfortable is probably not a strong enough word, but we talked about the 6 days that he got trapped on a climb that he didn't make it to the summit of McKinley in a cave that was really the size, I shouldn't use the word coffin, but it's so small that he could just sit up a little bit. And he spent 6 days in there, 7 days in there.
I think
and you talked about uncomfortably that. That's where, I mean, he didn't get outside for 6 or 7 days, so when he had to go to the bathroom.
You go.
Yeah, I went right there in the cave where you sat for 7 days. Yeah. That's an intestinal fortitude that I don't even understand. Yeah.
Well, I think also he mentioned that he experienced an earthquake while he was up there in that that cave.
I get your attention.
It was pretty lonely for him.
He finally had a chance to climax once in 30 days up there.
Oh, Jesus.
But the one thing I will say, I had the fortune of having dinner with him one night with our mutual friend Buck, and just him talking about his concerns about the Arctic and what he's seen changes over the last 25 years scares him.
Yeah.
And just the ice is melting away, the polar bears, all the wildlife there is disappearing. And so he's on a crusade to try to get that message out.
Right.
Well, there's controversy there. I have a hard time believing that. Love to talk about that.
But I tell you what, I've decided that I got tired of one side saying that we're destroying the planet, the other side saying there's nothing we can do about it. So I went on a crusade of several months to figure out. I'll just read everything. I'll read everything. I don't need to listen to you. I don't need to listen to you. I'll listen to everybody. I'm more confused. Here's what we know, that every year the numbers change, and even the scientists that have a theory. I read a theory from 1980 that they said by coincidentally enough, 2015 we would have children on the planet in the Midwest that would have no idea what snow is. Obviously, they were off in their thinking in 1980.
Yeah, right.
This is a science that every year we get an abundance of data.
Yes.
And the theories
in
are constantly changing.
25.
So what happened to that theory the other year when we lost about half our deer population we had a great
blizzard? But we do know that releasing carbon emissions into the atmosphere warms the planet.
Yep.
We've known that's been happening for 4.5 billion years for a variety of reasons. Volcanoes and this and that.
Goddamn cows.
Right. Cows, methane, the human population when we were born was 3 billion. It's 7 billion now. Listen, in 150,000 years, we put 3 billion people on this earth. In less than 100 years, we're at 7 billion. So, you know what? Something's coming, and I don't think it's good. But we don't know. Is it 100 years? These areas are disappearing. There's a lot. It's complex. We can handle little things that might have an impact. It makes sense to me to pollute less. Who doesn't that make sense to?
Yeah.
But you want to do it in a socially responsible way, in that we don't crash the economy and create another panic and another, you know, another more hardships for people in the short term, trying to save the long term. There's a balance there. We're human beings. I think we can figure it out.
You know, most people think that Brian's
Zep. Zep took it to another level.
They think that Brian Zep is a good-looking radio personality, likes to party. He actually is pretty intelligent.
I'm drinking. It's this energy drink that I'm having tonight. Hey, guys, listen. I'm all into the adventure talk now, and I want to talk with Colleen Wallen. Let's take this short break. When we come back, Colleen Wallen, the Bear Grease Race on Ticket Outdoors.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities. On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner of MinnesotaHockeyMag.com and Chad Graff of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Wild General Manager Chuck Fletcher.
Our whole defensive game has to get better. We're a little thin on defense now as well with Ballard's injury, and we're asking a lot out of our big players. And you get to this time of the year, it's difficult to sustain a high level of play when you're playing too much.
On the Ice. Hockey talk every Saturday morning at 9, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Have you been eyeing up a nice new log splitter? How about that gas grill? Or a new set of tires? Now's the time to shop. Big Boy's Toyland is on at Mills Fleet Farm. The more you buy, the more you get back in gift cards. Yes, there's tons of manly stuff throughout the store. Plus, book an appointment at the Auto Service Center for an oil change, a new battery, or repairs. It's time to shop like a man. So get to Mills Fleet Farm for Big Boys Toyland on now.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little Dan? Self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan's Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DansSouthsideMarine.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Thank you again to Lonnie Dupree, OneWorldEndeavors.com. If you just jumped in the middle of that, we rerun this 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings and the podcast available the next day or two at 105theticket.com. Colleen Wallen, our guest on Ticket Outdoors. Colleen, did I get your name right?
You did.
Okay, well, welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Now, Zepper, that internet stuff, that podcast thing you talked about, this radio show is rebroadcast Sunday mornings at 6 o'clock and then podcast anytime. That won't do Colleen Wallen any good. She hasn't got any internet up where she is.
God bless you. You're somewhere where... That's where I want to go, someplace where there is an internet. I still fake it when I go out of town or even back to South Dakota to the farm. I'm like, gosh, I wish, but I have no cell service. I do now, but there for a couple of years, I could get away with it. I went to BearGrease.com today, and the race here was a couple of weeks ago not quite a couple of weeks ago.
She's still healing up.
And I went, and there's, you know, they have like if you run a marathon, the Twin Cities Marathon, you can do a half marathon if you want, or you can do the full Bear Grease race. That's what the tough folks do. Yeah. And I looked down there and first place, second place, and third place, 2015, was this lovely lady, Colleen Wall. I don't even know if you're lovely. I'm just guessing.
I can tell you this. But Colleen, how you doing? Steve Spursinski, we spoke there.
Why am I getting echoed, too? Colleen, are you, can you hear us?
First time caller, long time.
She is lovely.
Now listen to this. Listen to this. Yeah. A couple of years back, someone called her the cutest musher you'll ever meet.
All right, time to Facebook Creeper.
She's very attractive.
Find a picture, Boomer.
Yeah.
Come on now.
No, we don't have any ugly people on this show.
How many?
You can't even tell men from the women because they're all dressed alike.
I've seen pictures, young lady.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're like the dogs. We have a good nose. Colleen, tell us, first of all, congratulations. And I don't know, does that feel like a congratulations? Or are you one of these super competitive people like third place and threw your trophy in the garbage?
No. God, you know, every year, you know, I hope to finish the race. We improve every year. We have, you know, good breedings, good training, good bloodlines. I'm pumped about third place.
This is, you're not alone out there. You've got a team out there, and I'm thinking specifically of the team of dogs. And you know what? I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know a lot about dog racing. I've seen a couple of the Disney movies. It looks like fun.
Iron Will, it's one of them.
Yeah, the one with, Cuba Gooding. But how many dogs in a team?
Well, the Bear Grease started this year with 12 dogs in a team. It was the race... was shortened to 12 dogs because it's usually a 14-dog race. It was shortened to 12 just so mushers would have more control.
Okay. And why do they do that?
You know, leaving a starting line or starting out with 14 dogs is a lot of power.
Okay.
You know, you're talking, I mean, some of these guys out there, Nate Schroeder, he probably is going to kill me, but he goes about 3 bills. He's a big boy.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's why they call him Big Nate.
Mark Luca could be a dog sledder.
No, Mark is slimming down. He's been on the workout program.
Yeah. He could get away with a dozen team. So you've got your 12 dogs on your team, and now how far is the Bear Grease?
This year was probably about 370 or or 380 miles.
Okay, I grew up on a farm that's 329 miles away, and in the old Ram truck, it takes me roughly about 5.5-6 hours, depends on how many potty breaks I need. That's a long haul on a dog sled. What's your average speed, or what's your top speed on a good dog team?
You know, on a good dog team, your top speed, you're going to hit about 14 miles an hour.
Okay, well, so not real fast. How long does this take you?
We start on Sunday. I started at about 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and I finished at about 6 o'clock a.m. on Wednesday morning.
And what's interesting about that is, Colleen, if you saw the standings, Colleen finished only 6 hours behind the top two guys, Nate Schroeder, and I forget the other guy's name, but then they won the last four. I think they rotated back and forth, and she was third this year. 6 hours is, to me, does not seem like a long for a 2 or 3 day race, whatever that was.
No,
three.
So what could you have done to make up 6 hours?
Well, at the risk of sounding really competitive, I was 3 hours behind the finishers. What could I have done? You know what? I asked Ryan and Nathan, who are really good friends of ours. I've known them since they were just little kids, you know, and I went up to him and I'm like, all right, what gives? Well, number one, Nate and Ryan, they don't work in the wintertime. They get laid off from their jobs because they
construction
are...
Construction workers.
Construction, right on. So I work full-time.
What do you do?
I work at the Minnesota Veterans Home in Silver Bay. I'm the recreation director.
Oh, good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah. We have a son who's 16. He plays basketball. He's in the throes of a one-act play right
now. I'm just hearing excuses.
So I'll tell you what, we train hard. Ward and I both share the training and all the chores, everything. We train really hard, and I'm always telling these boys, you screw up once, and I'm right behind you.
So why don't you do the old Tanya Harding thing from the Olympics and bring a stick and break these guys in the knees?
Well, Nate's 300 bills.
Or just cut their dog team in half.
As a matter of fact, I think we might have talked about it, or maybe I read it, but you teased one of the guys that you're going to cut their reins, but of course you would never do that.
No, I would never do that.
Hey, Colleen, I'll tell you what. Let me ask you a question. How does a girl from Amber Grove Heights end up in Two Harbors?
You know, I have to say, I mean, if anybody's out there listening, just so people know, I'm one of the Sweeney girls from Inver Grove Heights, one of seven girls, grew up in a glass house, went to St. Pat's Church, so hi to every Simley alumni. And my husband and I moved up here because we were hunting and fishing and camping every weekend. He took a job up north, so we moved up north. We found a little apartment in Duluth. We found a house, a home with 40 acres, and in 91, I watched my first Bear Grease. I thought it was incredible. In 94, I was a Bear Grease volunteer. I had I was doing the timing for the finish line. That was the year Iron Will was made, downtown Two Harbors.
Right,
that's
right.
The 190 race finished. And then then from there on out, I went on a camping trip with a guy in Ely, and I met Ward. We had a beer and a burger afterwards, and I had tears in my eyes. I said, if I can just have four dogs, Ward, it's just so awesome. It's just so magical. So just, you know, just from hunting and fishing and camping up north, I just fell in love, you know, just with the dogs, with the team, with the silence, with the solace, everything.
It was, wow.
It hit me hard.
Kind of lost my own words there. What I was going to ask.
Colleen, this is our buddy Boomer here. He's got a question for you if he can remember it.
Yeah. Hey, Colleen, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
Hey, quick question for you. So how many dogs do you own?
I own 34 dogs.
Holy Alpo, that's a lot of dog food.
Not including Ward.
Oh, man.
I need dogs.
How many of those dogs, during the Bear Grease, I mean, you've got your team of 12. You don't get to swap out dogs anywhere, do you?
Nope.
What if you get a bad paw, one of them comes up a little lame?
Well, there's a lot of dog care involved. There's veterinarians all over the race. I could fall and break a hip and nobody would care, but if I came in with a limping dog,
they're landing a chopper.
Number one, shame on me. We train hard up and down the hills. The Sawtooth Mountains, we're going up and down them. It's like running up and down Lake Avenue for 3 days. I mean, those hills are crazy. You're taking sharp 90-degree angle turns. A lot of dog care, we sweat their wrists. like horses are sweated.
Yeah.
We have liniments that we use. One of them is called Algival. We have dog jackets and dog blankets. And you really have to train your team. You not only have to, it's easy to train your dogs how to run. It's hard as hell to train your team how to rest.
Oh, I bet. I've read about that.
You know, when you talk, Colleen, about training the dogs as a team, you know, I grew up in a hunting and fishing family myself and do quite a bit of it and have had a lot of hunting dogs in the day. And it seems like with your group of dogs, you always have one alpha in the hunting pack. Or, you know, at Great Plains Hunting, Zep, you know, I'm sure there's an alpha.
Duke's
the alpha,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is there an alpha dog when you're racing that as part of your team?
There is. I absolutely have my go-to leaders. And my go-to leader happens to be a female named Freeze. And just to sum it all up, her nickname is Bitchy Bitch. She's just a terror.
I love you, baby. I love you.
Oh, wow.
I have another big boy. His name is Musket. He's a great dog. When we start training puppies, I'll start training leaders, hooking them up with veteran dogs. And the dogs, you know, when we're walking puppies, the puppy that won't come when she's called or that runs into the woods and tries to run away, that's the dog I want, with confidence.
Oh, well, that speaks to your personality. Colleen, and we want to talk a lot more about the team, how you get the right combination of personalities, because I bet it's like putting together any other team, a hockey team, a football, a basketball. No, it's true. Boomer, sit down. I'm shutting your microphones off right now. Colleen Wallen is our guest, this year's third place finisher in the Bear Grease. Full race. No, your microphone is off. Colleen, if you can hang around a couple of minutes, we've got a lot more questions to ask you.
Sounds good.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
Domestic abuse, once it eventually did get uncovered, it got ample press.
I love it. I love that TMZ finds that Ray Rice video.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors and my friends at Alumacraft Boats, the official boat sponsor of The Ticket Outdoors. Even though the temps are cold and you guys know I love to talk about ice fishing, right now is an awesome time to buy a new boat because Alumacraft is featuring their annual Alumacash promotion. Get instant rebates of up to $1,600 to use as a down payment or subtract from the sale price. See your local dealer and find out why Minnesota's Alumacraft is the best deal on the water.
Have you been eyeing up a nice new log splitter? How about that gas grill? Or a new set of tires? Now's the time to shop. Big Boy's Toyland is on at Mills Fleet Farm. The more you buy, the more you get back in gift cards. There's tons of manly stuff throughout the store. Plus, book an appointment at the Auto Service Center for an oil change, a new battery, or repairs. It's time to shop like a man. So get to Mills Fleet Farm for Big Boy's Toyland on now.
Men have asked themselves since the dawn of time, when that moment arises, am I going to be ready to go? Is it the size or how it's handled? No need to worry. If you buy, sell, and trade, then practice your skills at the indoor gun range at Lakes Trading Company. Lakes Trading Company, just off of 61 in Forest Lake, is your gun specialist with an unbelievable product line, knowledgeable staff, and center permit to carry classes. If you experience arousal longer than 4 hours, you probably just bought a gun from Lakes Trading Company. LakesTradingCo.com. Be locked, cocked, and ready to go.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I know. We don't ever stop this show for
the commercial. Let's start because Boomer's gone. We don't need him anymore.
Yeah, we don't stop this show for those fine messages from our sponsors. We continue on off the air, and we were caught talking to Colleen Wallen, actually about her profession and not her, I suppose, sport. But there's a passion, maybe. Is that a good way to put it, Colleen?
That's a great way to put it.
All right, Colleen. Colleen just finished this year's 2015 Bear Grease race in third place behind a couple of fellas that have just been winning it year in and year out. Can you beat them, Colleen?
You know, if they screw up one time, I'm right there, but I don't know if I can beat them 3 hours behind them. I mean,
yeah,
their bloodlines are incredible. In fact, we've got up-and-coming pups. We've bred to their bloodlines for the last couple years, and I have improved. So So.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. BearGrease.com, by the way, if you want to check out the results. And I think I was looking at the same things. True was there's a 6 hour mark there, but the guys both have threes. So that means that you finished 3 hours behind them. I guess we just don't really understand those numbers, but we don't have to right now.
That's Colleen, a close race.
Yeah. Colleen, yeah. How, I think so when you're talking about a 3 day race. Colleen, how many Bear Grease races have you been in?
I did my first race in 95.
Yeah.
I did a race in 98. I was pregnant at the time. I didn't really realize it.
Oh, okay. Well,
06. I've been in probably 18 Bear Greases.
Okay. Just real quick, Boomer, because we teased it before we went to the break, and we talked about putting that team together. You talked about having 30 dogs. You're going to take 12 out. By the way, I never did get to follow up, but so if you lose, and when I say lose, a dog gets hurt. Maybe something happens along. It has to happen sooner or later with all of the teams that are out there. You don't get a replacement dog. You drive on with 11?
You drive on with 11, yes.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about putting that team together. I did some coaching when I was a younger man at the middle school level for football. So, and I played football through college. But you talk about, you know, getting the right combination and the right team together. And I'm guessing in those top 10, 15 teams that finish the marathon Bear Grease, that those are dog personalities and trainers and owners that really sort of mesh. When you get these 30 dogs, what kind of personality? I mean, isn't that right? Don't you have to, the dogs have personalities and you've got to get them working together?
Mm-hmm. It really is. You know, it's tough to buy a dog and let it mesh into your team. All the dogs that we have are from our kennel. I have a couple. I have one from Nate Schroeder. He finished second. I have a couple from Ryan Anderson. He finished first. First of all, I mean, the personalities of a Husky are just, you know, they'll just knock you over with love. They want to please. They want to run. It's a crime not to run them.
Right.
They have to be good listeners. The big part of running and training is trust. I'd never ask my team to do more than what they can do. You know, we start out in fall training. We'll do 3 miles. We'll bump it up to 5 miles. We'll go back to 3 miles. We'll jump up to 8 miles. And all along, they know that I won't give them any more than they can handle. You know, I want to run in training. In fall training, we camp out the backwaters of the Gooseberry right off the state trail.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll run my team. I'll hook 16 dogs up to my four-wheeler and pack some supplies, and I'll go camp, and I'll teach the dogs how to rest, how to run. I'll get up, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, run a couple hours, go back to the camping spot, make a fire, rest them for 4 hours, and go back and forth. So, like I said earlier, teaching them how to rest is huge. The personalities, you know, I like to run a boy with a girl. Boys can have a lot of testosterone, and they can fight, and just like in the real world.
Yeah.
Just like in the real world, when the females fight, it's worse.
Yeah, right.
But more fun to watch.
Do you worry about how they interact as sexes with a dog? And you talk about alphas and other different times. I assume the dogs are fixed, yes?
We have one, you know, Musket, I talked about him. He was getting into fights. He was picking fights with anybody last year. Brought him to the vet and cut his nuts off, and he's just fine.
There you go.
Sorry about that.
That's what we call a married man.
Right. But so, you know, I know that Musket and Coco, they love each other, and they love to run together, and they'll, you know, I'll hook them up, and they'll sit and lick each other's faces and say hello. I like a happy team. It's all about attitude. You know, if a mistake is made in the team, it's the musher's fault. You just have to know your dogs.
Okay. You know, Colleen, speaking about, you know, Huskies being the dog of choice or the only dog we've talked about, someone asked me before the show, are there other dogs, species that you could run in a Bear Grease type adventure? And is it a
bulldog
type of sugar, Springer Spaniel, or is it all Huskies, and is it a certain breed of Husky?
You know, it is. The Alaskan Husky is the choice. A lot of people got into breeding short hairs for speed.
Wow. Really?
But not, yeah. That was about 10 years ago.
Boy, that's really cutting the aerodynamics down there when you're just trying to take
but
some
they
hair.
Don't have much hair to stay
that's
warm.
That's the problem. That's exactly the problem. You know, last year going across Devil's Track Lake, 64 below was the wind chill.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a nice, hairy, big old, fluffy husky, you're really in trouble. I went to a race out in Maine. I did the Can-Am 250 a couple years ago. And there was a woman who had a golden retriever, and that golden retriever had 10 pups, and she wanted to keep them all, so she got a sled and harnesses. And she did a recreational race, and it was so awesome. She tried to cross the road, and the goldens are so happy and wanted to see people. They just ran up on their backs and wanted to be pet.
I'm surprised they didn't just head off into the lake.
Right, go swim, yeah.
Now talk about how you interact. Now, the dogs, all right, a layman like me is going to think, okay, well, so you just get on and enjoy the ride.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, right. How, just as you're moving along the trail, and then talk about those times that you have to take breaks, and do you sleep? Do you, and you've got to feed them, and all that's got to be packed on. How do the dogs and you interact, and what's your job with them as they're pulling you along the Bear Grease at about 370 miles, we thought, round trip, approximately?
Yep.
Yeah, about that. Well, you know, first of all, the beginning of a race, it's really nerve-wracking. There's a lot of people around. You know, I love to see the people, but
the dogs are all together.
They're all together. Yeah. They are on our truck. We drop them down. We get them booted. We hit the starting line. And there, you really can't be one bit hesitant or scared or nervous the minute the countdown starts. You know, your team is just gleaning positive everything from you, confidence, everything.
Adrenaline.
So, you know, I'm walking confident. I'm going up and down the line. I'm telling everybody to get ready. They know it's a race. They know it's a race the week before when we start opening and closing the trailer doors. You know, it's hilarious what they really know. And just positive reinforcement, you know.
What about with all the dogs there getting ready to start the race? And I'm not sure how it started. I imagine it started in stages. Because, first of all, approximately how many teams have competed in the Bear Grease this year?
Yeah, there were 19 marathon teams this year.
Okay, 19 marathon teams. You're starting in stages. But, I mean, you've got all the dogs that don't spend time with each other all in that small little space. Is that a challenge?
Yeah, it is a little bit of a challenge. You know, we all have dog trucks. We're all spaced out really well, so my dogs can't reach anybody else's dogs. We have our own staging area. We hook the dogs up, and, you know, this year it takes, you know, if you want to get your sled safely to the starting line, I'm hooked up to a four-wheeler. That's how much power there is in these dog teams. So they'll careen us around the corner, and they'll get us on a straightaway. We also started with 12 dogs this year just because there was a lack of snow.
Yeah.
Something called a snow hook that I pound in with my foot to stop the teams.
What is it just sounds like what it is. You're driving a hook into the ground?
Yeah, with your foot, yeah.
Okay.
And you couldn't really set a hook, as we say, to keep them stopped. So if there was a tangle or something were to happen, it's just real heads up.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Give me old whoa. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, Colleen, the John. Now, these my partners here are making fun of me just by their eyesight. I can tell that they don't know that John Bear Grease started years ago, and it's as a result of a Chippewa Indian who delivered mail back in the late 1880s. That's the
was
reason
his name John Bear Grease?
Yes, okay. It was John Bear Grease.
Yeah. He was the son of a Chippewa chief. And
let me guess, it was cold out, too,
it must
right?
Have been,
true?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went by canoe in the summer and dog team in the winter.
So that's a hell of a tradition
yeah,
to follow
cool.
There,
yeah.
Right?
His great-grandson is on the board of directors for the Bear Grease, and we always have a ceremony, a tobacco ceremony and a drum ceremony at the start of the race. It's all very moving. It's all very dedicated. We carry mail bags. We're sworn in at the opening banquet. We're sworn in as mail carriers. We have beautiful mail bags that we carry, and we're actually carrying,
cool.
It's called
cool.
Trail mail. So if anybody wants to write a letter and they say, you know, I want Colleen Wallen to carry my mail, that goes in my mail bag, and then they collect the mail at Sawbill, and then it goes on to be delivered.
That's just
really
cool.
Cool.
And that's really a way to connect
really
the past
cool.
to the present.
Let me ask you how Bear Grease relates in relation to the Iditarod or something like that. I know a Bear Grease is a different thing. We're in Minnesota here. And based on the conversation we've had so far and your comments, it sounds like you guys are very, very competitive, but also a lot of friends. I play senior softball still, and we want to kick each other's ass. But when it comes to the end, you shake each other's hand, go have a cocktail, and yes, life goes on.
That's exactly it. That's so very much it. I mean, it's great. I've talked to two mushers, Doug Swingley, who won. Doug Swingley won the Bear Grease 3 times.
Yeah.
He got up to the podium. In between there, he started to run Iditarod. And the first words out of his mouth were the Iditarod Trail sled dog race is a walk in the park compared to the John Bear Grease sled dog race.
Oh, all right.
And you said it cost about, and you said, I asked you, would you give it a shot? You said it cost about $30,000 to give it a chance, right?
Yeah,
get involved.
Yeah, you know, we have some sponsors for our kennel, some real, you know, like local sponsors that give us a couple hundred bucks here and there. But for the most part, I mean, we guide, we give sled dog rides right out of our home, and the kennel kind of pays for itself. It's really a tough one. I mean, it is about a $30,000 or $40,000 venture to do the Iditarod.
So you're suggesting if I can take one of my 10 grandkids up to visit you sometime, you take us for a dog sled ride, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Nate Schroeder called me last year on his way back from Iditarod. He finished 15th and he was a rookie of the year. And he said, Colleen, load your dogs up and go to Iditarod. It's so easy. And I just laughed at him.
When is the Iditarod?
Wow.
That'll start March 1st, I believe.
Okay, Colleen Wallen, our guest, finished 3rd in the Bear Grease this year. What's the highest a woman's ever finished in the Bear Grease?
Well, Jamie Nelson is a past champion. She's won the Bear Grease twice.
Okay.
And she did the Bear Grease this year. She's 64 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, she's incredible. Yeah.
So, and talk a little bit about the course this year. We've had up and down winters. Now, we had some early snow. Up north, I guess I didn't track it quite as much. I have been looking at Lutzen recently to get up there to do a little skiing. But was the entire course covered in snow?
Yeah, the entire course was covered in snow. The snow got better after the Sawbill checkpoint. You know, at Sawbill, it's an unassisted checkpoint, So what they're doing is try to qualify people for the Iditarod. So we're all on our own. We camp out. We feed our dogs. There's no handling assistance. And once we hit those Sawtooth Mountain hills heading up towards Grand Marais and Poplar Lake at Trail Center.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Colleen,
favorite places of mine. Yeah, that's I know the area. I love it. I've got to get up there and watch the Bear Grease.
You should.
I will.
Hey, Colleen, we have to wrap this up because we got Boomer with the Lake Report coming up next, and it is the biggest thing on this radio show right now. But give us one plug. Give us one plug about. I think what is the name of your dog sled? Is it Silver Bay?
Silver Creek Sled Dog.
Silver Creek. And give us a plug and tell us how we contact you, and we'll go from there.
Contact me at home. Can I say my home number?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Area code 218-834-6592. We'll hook you up and let you know how to get you out trout fishing in the Boundary Waters or come with your family.
Oh, don't tease me, my Lord.
Probably give you a ring as soon as the bar's closed today.
Do it. Yeah. Meet the dogs and meet the dogs.
Colleen, give the number again one more time, please.
All right, 218-834-6592.
Our guest tonight, Colleen Wallen, finished 3rd place in the Bear Grease. Congratulations. You're back in 2016, yeah?
Yes, sir.
All right. Colleen, we'll talk to you again before the next Bear Grease.
Good.
We can get a little preview and see how the off-season training went and talk about the team a little bit.
All right.
Hey, don't hang up, Colleen. We're going to talk after we're off the air for a second.
All right. You guys are great. Thank you so much.
That's it for Ticket Outdoors, right? Tune in again.
Too late for the Lake Report.
Tune in next Wednesday. Oh, that's right.
Sports and legal issues. They don't mix very often, do they? Join Marsh Hallberg with Bob Sansevier every Tuesday afternoon at 3.
It seems sincere. It seems genuine. It seems heartfelt. It seems unrehearsed. I'm sure it was rehearsed to kind of come forward and say, hey, learn from this and don't repeat what I did. Most of my cases all involve something that happens in seconds. It was a car accident or a fight or something else. It's usually not some long, drawn-out kind of a crime.
Marsh Hallberg, every Tuesday afternoon at 3, powered by Smart Start MN, 105 The Ticket.
Have you been eyeing up a nice new log splitter? How about that gas grill? Or a new set of tires? Now's the time to shop. Big Boy's Toyland is on at Mills Fleet Farm. The more you buy, the more you get back in gift cards. There's tons of manly stuff throughout the store. Plus, book an appointment at the Auto Service Center for an oil change, a new battery, or repairs. It's time to shop like a man. So get to Mills Fleet Farm for Big Boys Toyland on now.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you, then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DanSouthsideMarine.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, yeah, no, I had to, guys.
Okay,
fellas.
We're live on air talking about how our previous guest was.
I know,
exactly.
That's true.
Right now?
Colleen Wallen.
No,
is she married?
You said, well, she, of
yes.
course we talked about her husband. Yes.
I kind of voided that out after she's talked about just taking the, yeah.
And you went with red hair and freckles, and now you
I was right.
I know it, doggone it. And Strew's over here like, well, I'll probably be up tomorrow.
Strew's getting me. Marital advice over here right now. Ticket Outdoors.
Well, I'll tell
Dr.
you what.
Phil.
I'll tell you what. There is nothing more fun, or even let's say it, sexy, than a woman that's confident. They can get out here in Minnesota, get outdoors, tackle big adventure like she has, the Bear Grease, finish third behind a couple of guys that, well, you know, rookie of the year for the Iditarod.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
not
yeah.
bad. And she's just a heck of a lot of fun. So, we want to thank Colleen Wallen, obviously, for being our guest and a good sport with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
What time is it?
Lake
it's
Report,
time to
what?
Go.
It's
what's next? All right, here we
all right,
go,
now
buddy.
Listen, at the beginning of the show, you teased if you're just joining us, we rerun Ticket Outdoors Sunday mornings at 6 o'clock. Also, the podcast available sometime in the next couple of days on 105theticket.com. We're looking at you, Mark Lukey. Feet up on the desk back there. Got a couple of thumbs up. You teased at the beginning of the show that we're going to do more of a Metro Lake Report this time.
Yeah, we're going to do, I'm pretty excited about tonight's Lake Report. We're going to do some Metro Lakes. We're going to talk about Mille Lacs, Tony Roach at Roach's Guide Service. We're going to talk a little bit about a part of Lake of the Woods that we've never touched base on, which is the Northwest Angle. And then talk about the weather system that stabilized at Devil's Lake that the Bites is heating back up. But before we jump into that, I want to make a couple quick announcements. One is Strew doesn't know how to use microphone.
He's free miking it now. We call that free balling.
On a serious note, a friend of the show, Geiger's Trails and Resort on Bowstring, we talk about fishing on that lake. It's a great fishery. Bill Charlton got in an accident up there. He's been stabilized. Bill, we want to let you know that you and Aaron are in our thoughts and prayers.
Yes.
And folks, if you're looking to donate some money to some folks that own a resort, we're going to post a link to their youcaring.com to help Bill out with his medical bills. Second event that I'd like to talk about is it's called Jake's Hope. It's a local fishing event here.
Right now. I'm donating $500 to Bill right now. $500. I'm donating to Bill and Aaron.
All right. I got that written down, and it's recorded. Jake's Hope
I bet he's going to wish I had left his mic off for about five more seconds.
He's going to be so disappointed.
I said doll hairs.
Center City, Minnesota, on a serious note. It's Jake's Hope, jakeshope1994.com. It's going on this Saturday. It's to help prevent suicide. It's a good event. Jake's no longer here, so it's a great event about preventing suicide. Let's talk about some happy fishing. First, I want to thank Mr. Tony Roach about giving us some insight on what's going on that amazing fishery we call Mille Lacs, Roach's Guide Service. They're catching some walleyes during the typical times you're going to be catching walleyes, which you would think for the best period. Early in the morning, early in the evening. If you're willing to move around on Mille Lacs, you're going to catch some fish. But the cool thing about it is where they're finding the walleyes, they're also finding the jumbo perch and they're finding the tulipes.
Are they bunching? Is that pretty typical this time of the year?
You know, it really depends on the body of water and right. the structure and where the forage is. But what we're seeing on Mille Lacs right now is if you go deep off a structure right next to those mudflats in between 29 to 34 feet of water, that's where they're finding those walleyes, and it's mixed in some perch and tulipy as well.
I love the idea of punching a hole and not knowing if you're coming up with perch or walleye, that anything can be down there.
And when you find fish like that of different species that are working that same piece of structures up, typically what's going to differentiate what's going to bite your hook is going to be your presentation, right? So for those walleyes, they're using smaller spoons, you know, 116 to 132 ounce, tipped with a minnow head. And if you want to change your target towards those perch, you're going to probably use a really small spoon or a small tungsten jig tipped with Euro larva or waxworm. So that's going to be the difference that's going to differentiate if you're going to be targeting those perch or walleyes. Lake of the Woods, I just want to talk a little bit about a part of that area called the Northwest Angle. They're having really good luck with these big black crappies. I mean, they're a gorgeous fish, but some of that you have to cross over into the Ontario waterways, right. and you can just buy a one-day license. But if you're looking to be adventurous right now, those big black crappies are biting on the Northwest Angle, and those crappies are pretty nice size, guys. There's 12 to 15 inches, and there's even been some rumors that some of those crappies have topped 17 inches.
I'm not sure if there's a prettier fish than a black crappie.
I'm trying to picture a 17-inch crappie.
Oh, boy, yeah. Oh, we talked about that, yeah.
I tell you what, they are an amazing fish. Adam Griffith, we're going to get to a couple lakes that he fished. Devil's Lake, we visited out there, and we had a pretty good bite for the cold fronts. But, folks, that bite is starting to heat back up. Some really hot points that the bite seems to be heating up is Six Mile Bay or Swanson's Point. On sunny days, those fish seem to like that your presentation is a little less active. And then when you're getting into more cloudy days, you should really jig that spoon and a minnow head or your darter or your wrapping shad pretty fast. Now, let's talk about some local lakes that we teased about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And one of them, I guess, was Zepp's Honey Hole, so I might apologize.
First of all, not all of us can go running out every weekend to some exotic location like we'd like to.
Right.
So we've got some great lakes in the metro, and I can't believe you're going to give up. Fun little spot. It's not on any major road. You know, you've got Prior Lake, Upper Prior Lake, yep. right there, right near Highway 13.
Yep.
And you can spot it and you see all the houses out there. It looks like an active place you want to get out there and punch a hole. But we've hidden something off from everybody for years called Spring Lake.
Oh, gee, there it goes.
And I tell you what, though, from what I'm hearing, and thank you, Adam, big Griff Dog, is the northwest spot of Spring Lake right now, there's a lot of activity. You're going to see a lot of houses. And what's happening is
I'm going to see a lot of texts out there.
You're going to see a lot of texts. Is earlier this season, I was talking about working those weed lines, and the joke is find the green cabbage because that's where the oxygen is best. In the metro lakes, those fish are starting to move deeper off of the weed lines onto the first break points. And so if you go and check out that area of Spring Lake and you go to the northwest corner there, look to be in about 18 to 22 feet of water and look for that first break line. And what I mean is break line is where there's a dramatic change in depth.
Okay.
And don't just fish the point of where that change is. Go on to the deeper side. So let's say it's from 15 feet and you find a drop off that goes to 21 feet. Don't fish right where it gets to 21 feet on your Navionics or sonar phone or whatever. Go a little deeper into the flat so you're into the flat more into that 21-foot area, and that's where they're finding those fish. Spring Lake has some beautiful big bull sunfish. Now, what
terrible for open water season there. Don't ever go there for open water season.
Now,
you'll never catch anything.
And here's something interesting to catch some of those sunnies so you can make Zepp smile is smaller presentations seem to be working the best. And so we talk about why tungsten is such a popular jig these days. It's because you don't have to buy the lead weight on top of your historical ice fishing jigs. Use those small, I like to use like those white epoxy drops or an ant jig. And what those do is it gives you a better presentation to those sunfish. Now, again, when you're targeting those sunfish in Spring Lake, if you're not using like an inline reel or a schoolie reel, make sure that you're jigging it pretty consistently with a cadence, because what that's going to do is that's going to help your jig from spinning in 360 degrees.
They don't want the spin.
And they don't want the spin. Now, if you are in the Minnetonka area, Spring Park, which is on the west side of the lake there off of 19, is having a pretty good bite. And that bite's happening in between 19 to 21 feet. And that is off of that first break as well. And look for those fish to be not right at the break, but more in that flat surface area. And the crappies are biting there in the morning and evening. And last, but definitely not least, is Waconia, which is what I talked about that I took Dad and Sophia out there. It's a great fishery, the folks at InTown Marina. The north side of that and between that 18 to 23 feet area, first breaks, they're catching all kinds of crappies. You know, use a white, more of a white presentation is what Adam was having luck with. Euro larva, tip it with a minnow head, use a Mackie plastic or whatnot, and they're having a great bite. So thanks again to Tony Roach, wow, the folks at Devil's Lake, Lake of the Woods, and Mr. Adam Griffith. And folks, be safe. The fish are biting.
Thank you, Boom.
You bet.
Also want to thank Brian Clawitter, BrianK'sWorld.com.
Yeah.
If you're thinking sturgeon, we've got that exciting season coming up. March 1st through March 2nd.
Fun.
And then again later in the year.
Fun.
Also, Lonnie Dupree, his website, oneworldendeavors.com. If you didn't catch the interview, catch it Sunday morning, catch it on the podcast. And Colleen Wallen, what a lot of fun she was. Our Bear Grease musher, talking about her team. Thanks, guys. We're going to do it again next Wednesday. I don't know what we have planned, but I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun.
Take care of yourself. Thanks, everybody.
You know, there's still plenty of winter left, but how much tread is left on your old tires? Well, Mills Fleet Farm has just what you need to stay safe while weathering the rest of winter. Buy four select tires, our expert technicians will install them, and we'll give you a $50 Fleet Farm gift card. Roadrunner, Cooper, VF Goodrich, Mastercraft, and Michelin. All the best brands at the best prices at Mills Fleet Farm.